Good morning. A blessing to be able to be with you all again. Feels like a little while, and it's been a lot transpiring in our lives as a family with my parents and my sister dealing with some significant health issues, and they and we are very appreciative of all the prayers and support in different ways, and may God be praised. It seems like things are going well, considering. I think my mom will be home Tuesday, and I, at this point, actually think my dad will likely get home at some point, too. And it took me a while to come around to that point, and I don't know for sure. I don't know what that all looks like, but he's at least sounding more like himself, and like there's that probability. And God be praised through it all. There were times where I thought we might be losing one before the other, when the one had been in the hospital first and the next one went in and seemed worse than the other. And we just try in these things to see that God's hand is at work, and that whether they live or whether they die, their intent is to be the Lord's, and that's our intent as well. And we just want to rest in the fact that God knows our day-to-day. He knows today and He knows tomorrow, and it's in His hands. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank You for opportunity that we have to share together in Your word today. Do bless those that aren't here with us today, that often are, and keep Your hand over them. Bless each one of us here. Help us, Lord, to just lift our cup and let You fill it, and let it overflow, that we would have something to be able to pour into others this week as well. I just ask for Your peace, Your strength, Your guidance as we continue to deal with the joys and burdens of life. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, if you would turn with me to Ephesians 5, 1 through 7, I want to start reading those verses. And if I was to entitle this, I would say, what is a lie? That is my title for this. What is a lie? And in answer to that question that the title has, I believe that an accurate statement or an accurate answer for that would be a statement or omission, which would be leaving something out, made with the intent to deceive. So there's times where we lie by leaving something out. There's other times we lie by saying it like it isn't. So that is kind of a new one for me with the omission part, and I'm having to rethink that a little bit, because there's times where it's just very convenient to leave out a piece, at times where we figure that piece isn't necessary, it's not going to hurt anything, people don't need to know that. And in some cases, it truly may be just as much a lie as communicating something in a way that it isn't. And so I just want to realize that these things are important to God, and we need to understand the heart of God in these things. We may not have a 100% clear picture of just entirely what that all means and how we communicate and how we don't communicate by the end of this, but we'll at least look at certain things today. Just wanted to start out reading a passage here in Ephesians 5 that doesn't specifically mention the word lie, but it does mention how important certain things are to God. It speaks of certain things not being once named among you as becometh saints. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. How important are we to God? He gave Christ for us in love, for an offering and a sacrifice, for a sweet-smelling savor to himself. He allowed that in place of us who deserve punishment. And then he says, and we should really pay attention to this because it's important to a God that loved us that much, But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We could have potentially broadened this list and made some more definition of things that may be included in it that may not be spelled out in it. We could have put lying in this list of these things that aren't to be once named among us. We could have said, right along with the filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, that anything that isn't true could fit in that list as well. We're not supposed to have things like this in our life, but rather giving of thanks. If we're going to use our bodies and our mouths for something, it should be something worthy. So in Revelation 21, verse 8, there are certain categories of people that are mentioned that will partake in the lake of fire. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, by nature, I would tend to look maybe at this list, and I know because we've studied these things a long time that they're all very bad, but I'd look and I'd say, well, you know, the fearful, I mean, everybody's going to have some of that, and tend to maybe excuse that. And unbelieving, I mean, you know, that, well, they just didn't understand. And by the time we get to murders, we'd say, oh yeah, really bad, really, really bad. But God isn't saying that. He is giving a list of those things that are important to him, of those people that are not going to be counted worthy, and that are going of good things, that are going to have their part in the lake of fire. And he says, but all of these people, the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, the whole bunch, shall have their part in that lake of fire. And then it also goes on in verse 27 to tell us of those that are excluded from the great city, the Holy Jerusalem. It says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, Jesus said, what did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the nature, the heart. The only reason we can trust God, or a big reason that we can trust God, is because God is true. God is truth. And if God decided, well, today, I don't like people with glasses on, and tomorrow, this, and he wasn't the same yesterday, today, and forever, if God was not true and faithful and steadfast, and something that we could see and count on, then he could, you know, it would make sense that maybe we wouldn't have to be either. But if we want to be with him, we need to be like him. We need to be emulating or doing those things that are walking as Christ walked. So for this verse, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Other translations use words or phrases such as, no one who does what is vile or false, no one who defiles or deceives, no one who practices abomination and lying, dishonesty, falsehood, nor anyone who does shameful things or tells lies. So, you know, when we talk about Divorce and remarriage, and we all know, oh, wow, horrible, right? It is horrible. We hear sometimes, and the Bible doesn't necessarily use the word, the combination of words exception clause, but we hear of the term an exception clause. And my question for us today is not anything to do with divorce and remarriage. I'm just using it to bring in this word exception clause, or this phrase. If there is an exception clause in relation to lying, what is it? And is it clear? Or do we do well to avoid lying at any cost so as not to be playing with fire? Because God says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. It also says that those that make a lie aren't going to be in that holy Jerusalem. Wow. What does that mean? What does it look like? What does it boil down to? I'm not sure that I can 100% define it for you, just like some of those passages that we think maybe there is some sort of exception in this case or that case, but would we play with it? If we were in those shoes and we didn't know, would we risk our eternity over remarrying if we thought maybe it was not the right case in a certain thing? In his 1808 poem, Marmion, Sir Walter Scott wrote, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." Thinking about if there was an exception, it might be, some people would say, well, you know, lies to prevent harm, to protect life, to protect our safety, to escape abuse, to be kind or socially harmonious, you know, some of these things. I mean, I wouldn't want to spoil a surprise birthday party. And no, of course you wouldn't. But can we lie to avoid these things? Can we, how do we handle these things? Then there's those quote-unquote white lies. Your haircut looks really great. Or I'm busy, I won't make it. And, you know, honestly, probably every one of us at some point has been on that page. It's just hard to, I mean, you figure, oh, it looked really great to someone. You know, it's like, it's just hard. We want to be nice. We want to be socially harmonious. There, you know. But when it all boils down to it, when I sit down today after I've been standing up here, even though I don't feel like it, I would rather that you don't like me anymore and that you all go to heaven than that I omitted something that you needed. We need to say the things, do the things that bless God. Ultimately, we need to be here as His channels. I believe that there was one of the things on the list of lies that I almost crossed out because I wasn't sure if I was there. I think I left my phone down there. I had something I was going to read in relation to it. Thank you. So it's like, wow, paltering, and that's not a word that I normally, it's not in my regular vocabulary. I don't know that word particularly. And I looked up the a related definition by looking up, it came up with what is the opposite of paltering. And the opposite is being straightforward, clear, and honest. And we know that that's good. But then definitions of palter as a verb be deliberately ambiguous or unclear in order to mislead or withhold information. There's times where you just don't want to convey certain things. And I think we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And there are times where we don't have to give somebody certain pieces. But I just don't even understand sometimes where that line is and how to relate both truthfully and caring at the same time. And I want to do both. I really do. And I'm sure you do too. And, you know, there are so many types of lies. I looked some of these things up, and there are exaggerations. You know, it's so easy to want people to know how big a rack was on your deer, or, you know, how this or how that. And it's just so easy to convey something that is just more than the truth. Omissions, as I talked about. You know, times where we know that the way that we're conveying something is intended to make somebody deduce something that isn't true. I can't quite wrap around, that's a hard one for me, because there's times where I would truly like somebody to not have all the pieces, understand something that's best, seems best for them at that time, and best for everybody. But I'm going to have to think about that one, how that works. Because apparently, by definition, there's any intent to deceive in these things is really another way of saying that it's lying, whatever. It's then there's fabrications. There are things that people make up to suit their purposes that just aren't true. There's something called a bold-faced lie, and I think that would probably be somebody just staring someone in the face, in the eyes, and just telling them something just straight outright that wasn't true to their advantage and or whatever. Minimization, kind of maybe along with omissions. But, like I say, if lies are this important to God, we don't want to go at it lightly. I'm not going to judge your life based on what God is going to have me have to define in trying to relate to these things. I just know that you and I need to take this very seriously, because otherwise we're playing with fire. And I really think that it's a subject that is not just for other denominations. This is a very pertinent Anabaptist need. We need to love the truth, embrace the truth. And this is loving and embracing Christ himself. And that's what it boils down to. Who is one of the worst people to lie to? Well, certainly God. Yes, ourself. Ourself. If we lie to ourself, we then have set up false... everything from there is starting from a false premise, we'll say. We now are, if we allow ourselves to, living in deception to begin with, if we are lying to ourselves, and then it taints everything that goes out from there. And obviously, in a sense, I feel that every lie that anybody would tell, or any wrong that we do, is directly against God and against ourselves. I would like to read James 1, verses 19 to 27. And I think that the start of this, verse 19, is a good thing to get a grip on to begin with, because this will save us a lot of trouble right off the bat. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's so easy, if we let it happen, to be deceived. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to do something, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Going to church, reading the Bible, prayer meetings, witnessing, they all sound like good things. In their place, with the right framework, they are good things. But if there's sin in a person's lives, these may just be living in deception, masking reality that needs to be addressed. We can feel good about ourselves if, well, we've been to church and we go to this Bible study and we have this prayer meeting and, you know, we're reaching out to people and, you know, what we really are doing is trying to make ourselves feel good sometimes if there's something hidden in there that we don't really want to look at. If we stop looking in the mirror and we start reading about healthy people and pouring through vitamin catalogs and having the discussions about, you know, need for sleep and Googling better eating choices, we will surely be healthy or not. You know, maybe if we look in the mirror and we study, we're going to see those, you know, dark circles under our eyes and the pale skin and the fatigue, and we're going to do something about it. When you look in the mirror, you see what's actually there. When you decide you don't want to see, and you start deceiving yourself by focusing on anything but what you need to deal with what you saw, you focus on things that sound good. They make you feel good. You know, I know a whole lot about things that it's like, yeah, well, come on, do something about it. Now I'd like to look at 1 John chapter 1 and read 6 through 10. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now I'm going to substitute the word truth in verse 7 for light. But if we walk in the truth, as he is in the truth, or as he is truth, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, some people would probably like to take verse 9 and hang their hat on the part, if we confess our sins and say, see, we don't even have to have, like, it's okay, as long as we confess it, we tell the Lord about it, it's good, we can go on and all is good. Well, I did a little research, and I already knew what I thought, that's why I was looking at it further. And I believe that confession has to go along with repentance, a changed heart. And if we go back to verse 6, it says that if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, we can confess till we're blue in the face and have covered every sin that we're just about to commit and still not be cleansed. Oh yeah, that did make it pretty clear, didn't it? The sin that we're just about to... In other words, if we haven't repented of it, if we aren't sorry to the point of changing our walk, then something is still wrong and we're living in a deception. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. This is the last statement I'm going to make. I'm going to read it again. I'd like us to, if we don't remember anything else, remember the last phrase of this. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight.